Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Happy Friday to you. Hope you're looking forward to a great weekend. Well, I want to just take a quick moment to thank all of you for participating in this year's Share event. Can't thank you enough. We always say this, that we couldn't do this ministry without you, and we absolutely wouldn't want to. We are excited about what God is doing and the lives that are being touched by our programming. So a special shout out to you. A thank you for just standing with us and getting a vision for what God might do in our midst, in our world, through the programming of Faith Radio. So bless you and thank you. Well, you know, we talk often on Live the Promise about knowing the Word of God and having a really thriving prayer life. Well, we're going to look today at how God uses the Psalms to speak to us and to remind us of His presence and His promises. Vic Black joins me first hour today. He's the National Prayer Director for the Navigators, and he's written a book that I absolutely love. It's titled Speak, Lord, Hearing the Psalms in First Person. We'll get him on in just a moment. Second hour, you'll hear my conversation with Charlotte Gamble about how to hang on to faith during that time in between. You know, that time in between our prayers prayed and the answers given? If you're walking through a not-yet season, you will want to hear my conversation with Charlotte Gamble. She is a powerhouse. Okay, so here's my question for you before I get Vic on. Do you have a psalm that's been speaking to you these days? Or is there a psalm in the past that God has used to minister to you kind of as an anchor for your soul? I'd love to know. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get him on the show. Vic Black is National Director for the Navigators, National Prayer Director, pardon me, for the Navigators. He has been on staff with the Navigators for 34 years. He and his wife, Lindy, have 3 married children and 8 grandchildren. They live in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He sounds like a blessed man. So nice to meet you, Vic. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you, Susie. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, we love to start our conversations out talking scripture, Vic, and I'm wondering if there's a verse lately, as you are a man of the word, I know that. Is there a verse you've been pondering, thinking on these days that you can share with us?
Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2, kind of an interesting place to get a favorite verse from, but it says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. I've pondered that passage for quite some time, and I think it's quite a summary of what it means to come into the presence of God, realize you're in the presence of God, and make the necessary adjustments to Him.
Mm, such a good passage. You know, when I'm doing women's conferences, I have a session called Prayer in the Presence of God, and I just said, you know, one step can revolutionize your prayer life, and that is to stop and pause before you even open your mouth and remember who it is you're talking to. Because truly, we just take that for granted, and I love that we can walk intimately with God, but to rush into His presence and talk to Him like He's just a coffee buddy is to miss the vastness of what we can enjoy in Him, wouldn't you say?
I so agree.
So good. So talk to us a little bit about your backstory on your faith journey. We'd love to know a little bit about how you came to Christ and then specifically to the Navigators.
Well, I came to Christ when I was 18 and had not grown up in a church environment at all. But my best friend invited me to go to church the night before he left town. I think it was his last-ditch evangelism effort with me. I had no idea that this guy was even a believer. So I went to church and got around a different group of people than I normally hung around with in high school and accepted Christ. And a year later, the Navigators moved back to my hometown in the form of a sailor who had been in the Navigators in the Navy, and which is where the Navigators got their start, actually, in World War II. And he began to disciple me and just pour his life into me. And one day it dawned on me, my gosh, this guy has totally given me everything he's got. This is the Christian life. This is what God's talking about. And so I committed that that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life, regardless of whether I was an engineer or a computer scientist or school teacher or whatever the Lord called me to do. I was going to make disciples for the rest of my life.
Mm, wow, great story. Really appreciate you sharing that. Well, you open your book, Speak, Lord, with a story about a time when you led a retreat in the Adirondacks, and you thought, you said, though I'm optimistic by nature, you approached the 23rd Psalm with a bit of cynicism in that you thought, what is there anything new for me here? And then God really met you and sort of surprised you. Tell us that story.
Well, it was very unusual. I love to lead these retreats and retreat areas where I can get away with a group of people and just really soak in the presence of the Lord, like you said earlier, for days, for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This was an unusual retreat because they had an extra day on Monday, and I just expected God to do even more with that extra time. And so we like to zero in on a particular aspect of our relationship with God during those settings. And in this case, we focused on our on the shepherd-sheep relationship with him. And, of course, we're looking at Psalm 23 and John 10 and other places. And in John 10, it says that the shepherd speaks and the sheep hear his voice and they respond to him. And so I said, I'm pretty sure God would like to speak to us as our shepherd, so let's go out and listen to him, spend some time alone with him. And everybody went out and found their rock by the lake and in the beautiful Adirondacks, and I did the same. And I did have that pessimistic thought, which is kind of unusual for me. I kind of got mad at myself quickly. But I thought, well, I'm not going to get anything new out of Psalm 23 because I've milked that thing for all it's worth through the years. But I corrected myself, and I said, no, you just stop it and listen to the Lord, and let's see what happens. And it's like God showed up. It's just one of those God showed up moments. You kind of think if you looked over your shoulder, you'd see him standing there. And he said, so you don't think you're going to get anything new out of Psalm 23, huh? And he began to give me Psalm 23 in the first person, the shepherd speaking about himself, not David speaking about the shepherd. And it was revolutionary for me. When I got through, I felt like I was just a scribe writing as fast as I could. And when I got to the end of that, I thought, oh, my gosh, did that just happen to me? Did God really give me Psalm 23 in the first person? And then it's like the Lord said, well, you can do this in the rest of the Psalms too, and you can tell your friends about it. And so I began with a question, Lord, what would it sound like if you spoke this psalm to me in the first person? And the very first psalm I had to do right off the bat was Psalm 139. And then I began to explore some of my other favorite psalms. And it's just been a really fun experience, a fun journey. And I've used it for years with a lot of people and even drew from these psalms and even how to pray over people in particular circumstances that they were in.
So good. If you don't mind, I want to share what you wrote here for Psalm 23 in the first person, and love to have you comment on it if you have more to say. And I should almost have you read it. Do you have your book in front of you?
I do.
Okay. Well, then you know where it is, right? Or I can read it.
Let me just turn to that. Okay, Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
In the first person. Let's hear it.
Yes. I, the Lord, I am your shepherd. You have no need of anything because I am all you need. I will lead you to green pastures and cause you to lie down. I will lead you to quiet waters, to waters of rest, and cause you to drink your fill. I am very serious about your rest and restoration. I will even restore your soul. I will guide you, not push you, down the particular path of righteousness for the sake of my name. You will know this is the right path because you will see my tracks, my footprints of righteousness and holiness right in front of you. When I say so, together we will leave this quiet and restful place and go to other places that are not so restful. Some of these places may be scary. Some will be places of deep darkness and even death. But don't be afraid. I'm with you. My footprints are still right in front of you. My rod and my staff will touch you during those dark and scary times to keep you on the path and to reassure you of my presence. I may even prepare a table before you right in front of your enemies. But remember, I'm right there too. I will anoint your head with my oil. It's my oil of authority and recognition as well as my oil of healing for your wounds. your cup will run over with me, with my very presence. You will become more and more convinced that my goodness and my loving kindness will aggressively pursue you for your entire lifetime. You will also become more and more convinced that you will live comfortably in my house for all the length of your days, not only on this earth, but in eternity. I love you. You are that little lamb on my shoulders.
That is just powerful and profound, Vic. Tell me what this has done for your walk with God, your perspective of God, and just how you even frame your disappointments.
Well, it's opened up a whole new arena of listening to God and being quiet in the presence of God, asking God questions and not answering the questions for him, but really receiving the answers to the questions right out of the Psalms. And it's made relationship with God incredibly more personal, and it was wonderfully personal before. But it's like God has extended even deeper relationship to me and to others through this method, and I believe that he wants to continue to extend more and more intimacy and relationship to us. And so the Psalms have just come alive in ways that they were certainly wonderful before, but they've come alive with just the voice of God just springing right out of the Psalms. And sometimes it's like I said a little bit in the introduction here that God tends to take the pen at times and just add a few sentences or paragraphs of his own. And at times it's like when I'm in a particularly dark time, the Psalms just cry out with words of rescue, with words of God's presence, and with words of perspective, regardless of how difficult the circumstances might be. So through the years, I've certainly come to some very favorite Psalms that I continue to go to, and yet I don't want to get stuck there. I want to continue to go to more and more Psalms that maybe even some that I'm more unfamiliar with, and just watch them become good new friends.
You know, as the Lord just speaks to you in those times and you just start to write and you say he even surprises you with, you know, with more words and greater insight. I get it because I'm a journaler, but I'm thinking of that person listening going, are you saying you're adding to the words of God? I know you're not, but I just want to give you a chance to answer that person who may have that question.
Sure. Well, there's only one word of God, and that's the Bible that we all have. And so this is not adding to the words of God. Honestly, I would say if I went back to write every one of these Psalms today in the first person, I would write them all differently. Because God would be meeting me with my current circumstances, with my place in history, where I am with him, where I am in life, where I am in maturity, where I am in difficulty and challenges, and I've just seen that he makes the word be exactly what we need at the moment that we encounter him in the word. And I think sadly too often we flip the pages in the Bible and we kind of wish God would speak to us, and I'm convinced God is speaking constantly. The problem is I'm not listening always.
Indeed. We need to take a short break. I'm talking to Vic Black. Title of his book is Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. Really, if you need to refresh your walk with God, if you want to walk in a more intimate way with the Lord, this book will encourage you. So glad you tuned in. We're taking a short break. When we come back, more with Vic Black in a moment. Back when I was a young mom, three little kids, and I was in my 20s and early 30s battling Lyme disease, so sick, and I had two of my three sons had respiratory issues. Our medical debt was piling up. We were trading off being in the hospital and the doctor, and it was a dry and weary land. And I remember the one verse that stuck out to me that came off the page. Other verses just seemed dead on the page for whatever reason in that place. But that Psalm from 126, he who sows in tears will reap with shouts of joy. I'm paraphrasing. He weeps as he plants his seeds, but he comes back with a harvest in his arms. Remember just writing and rewriting, paraphrasing, praying that passage until it became my own. And the Word of God is living and active, and it will do that for you, whatever situation you're in. Well, I'm talking to Vic Black today. The title of his book is Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. And Vic, you're just talking about just that, slowing down, spending time in the Psalms, and seeing what God might say to you. Before we dig into some more of these Psalms, it was just like a devotional experience for me to prepare for this hour. This is a side note, a tiny bit off topic, but I have to talk about this. Eugene Peterson wrote your foreword. And I got to say, as an author, when I've quoted him and said, you know, in the Message paraphrase, because he's so eloquent and he's such a humble man of God, this is when we get, and I other author friends too, you get like a 2-star review because we quoted Eugene and they're like, that's not the Bible. And it just bothers me so much because we call it the Message paraphrase. And I'm like, how is it different quoting this theologian, man of God, than it is quoting anybody else saying, you know, Eugene captured this thought beautifully. But people are so latched onto that. I don't get what it is. But, you know, obviously he wrote your foreword, and I think he's such an insightful man. And he's no slouch. I mean, he's a theologian. He's credentialed.
Exactly.
You know, I just want you to speak to that, because when I see that, I mean, not my books aren't for everybody. So, of course, a 2-star review from somebody who's cranky is a bummer. But when that's the reason, I'm like, you know what? Whatever. I'm going to quote him again because I love his insights. You know, that's the feisty side of me. But I want you to speak to that, if you would.
Well, Eugene, I've actually met him a number of times, and you're right. He's an amazingly humble man, deep, deep, deep in the Scripture. He's a Hebrew expert. He's a Greek expert. And as a pastor in a church, he set out to put the Scripture into the language, everyday language, street language that it was intended to be spoken in. And I think we have altered that approach to the true Scripture through the years because of our high view of the Word of God. And yet what Eugene was attempting to do and did beautifully, like you said, in the Message Bible, and I struggle to call it a paraphrase. I very quickly call it a translation because, I mean, the man is a Hebrew and Greek specialist. And so how could you say that he, as compared to anybody else that's a Hebrew and Greek specialist that produced the Bible, that his version is not accurate and true? It's absolutely fabulous in terms of revealing the true heart of God to us.
Well, I appreciate you speaking to that. It's just one of those things I've always wanted to address. And I think because we're in such a day of fear around any kind of departures, people may hear a buzzword from somebody and that becomes their thing and they latch onto it and then they accuse. And it just breaks my heart because I'm thinking, you don't even know what you're saying about this man of God who studied the Word, and he gets to have insights as well, you know? And so it's just been one of those things that I thought, I'm going to address that someday. I thought today's a good day to do that. So anyway, back to your book, Speak, Lord. And then we bring that up because Eugene wrote the foreword and did a beautiful job on Vic's book, Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. But I'm thinking about this, you know, we live in this world of chaos and noise. And you say this too, that we more than ever need to know how to stop our striving and give God time and space to speak to us. And this is what you wrote. There is freedom and peace in waiting, listening, and soaking in a psalm. Allow God to speak. Trust him. Give yourself permission to listen and not put words in his mouth. He doesn't need your help to speak. I want you to say more about that.
Well, I think a lot of times, Susie, the way we approach the Scripture is we try to hurry up and get through a large portion of Scripture. And there's nothing wrong with reading Scripture. There's nothing wrong with memorizing it. I do all of that. But I think we've got to slow down and soak in a particular place in the Scripture. For instance, the Psalms, but anything else is wonderful too. And give God time. And it's kind of like God's not the one who needs the time to do this. We are the ones that need the time, the additional time to slow down, to stop our busyness, to listen rather than speaking so quickly with him. And I've just found that if I will take one psalm for, let's say, a week And I'm reading in other places of Scripture at the same time, and maybe I'm doing Bible study or something like that. But in this particular psalm, my intention and my purpose is to listen, and I'm covering it in multiple translations, and I'm reading it every day, I'm reading it multiple times a day. Oftentimes, before I write anything and asking the question, Lord, what would it sound like if you spoke this psalm to me in the first person? And so it's very much a meditative exercise, perhaps even more so than a writing exercise. And sometimes I'll begin writing right away because the words just begin to spring off the page. But sometimes it's more of a challenge. Like with Psalm 19, it was more of a challenge. And I was wondering, who is speaking in this psalm, and who are they speaking to? But once it began to click, and you can't get that kind of information by reading quickly through a psalm.
Yeah.
And we just need to simply slow down and listen.
You know, Vic, it seems that when we've walked with God a long time, it's easy to skim over things and think, okay, I already know this, which I've realized is really a form of pride and disengagement. You're kind of skimming the surface, going through the motions, and I think we've all done that. But God's been bringing me back to some of these basic truths lately, and I hear him whisper to me, know this deeper, know this deeper. And I sense it as an invitation. Just stop that, you know, skimming, striving, whatever, and humble yourself. And if you'll do that, I'm going to show you things you do not know. Truly,
exactly.
Don't you feel like it's like whatever we even think we know in part. And it's, I always liken it to holding a Dixie cup while the ocean remains.
That's a great, great illustration. I totally agree, because often when I come back to a passage of Scripture that I've spent time in before, God just peels back another layer, and he reveals new things. And I might even think at times, it's like, haven't I read this before? Haven't I studied this before? And now God's saying something new and fresh and more, and he's tying Scripture together too. That's why we need to live in the Word, and the Word needs to live in us. So that it's not just up to us what we study, but God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, I believe, begins to pull passages of Scripture together when I'm reading one particular place and just enlarge the meaning and expand the meaning that I never could have figured out on my own.
You know, we have to take a break in just a moment, but just as you're talking, you know, I'm being reminded again and again that Scripture isn't just an ancient text. It's living and active, and I once studied what that meant. And if I remember right, it's efficient, powerful, and accurate, and there was another word, but I can't remember it, but living and active. We think about that, efficient and powerful. When you're studying it in this current season, he brings you new insights, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And sometimes I feel like I get assignments from God. And I like to say I'm minding my own business and I'm reading through the Scripture and maybe I'm doing some Psalms or something like that. But then sometimes you become aware God wants to continue to speak to me from this particular passage. And it's like an assignment for him, from him. And he says, we're going to come back to this one again and again because there's a whole lot more here that I want to reveal to you.
So good. Talking to Vic Black today. Title of his book is Speak, Lord. Hearing Psalms in the first person. He unpacks these Psalms and then he writes them, rewrites them just through his devotional time in first person. And he invites you to do the same, just to walk more intimately with God and be acquainted with his word. More with Vic Black in a moment. You know, whatever kind of time you spend with the Lord, and I say this more as invitation than obligation, I invite you, I challenge you, I pray we can even inspire you to spend more time with him. Because in this day of chaos and anarchy, everywhere you turn, people are defying God, and God's people need to rise up, but we also need to be deeply rooted. We will not keep a perspective that's redemptive if we're not deeply rooted in the Lord and in his word. So whatever kind of time you spend, I pray that you'll consider, you know, adding a few minutes, doubling that time, whatever it takes to be much with God and be much with his word. I'm talking to Vic Black today. He's written a great book titled Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. And you paraphrased, or personalized, I should say, Psalm 18 is one of my favorite psalms. I would love for you just to give your thoughts on Psalm 18 before I read your personalization of it.
Wow.
Come on now.
Yes, you definitely picked one of my favorites there, Susie, and I agree with every word you're saying as you begin this segment. in our need to live in the Word of God. So life gets really, really tough sometimes, and we feel like, we probably should feel like, we're fighting in a battle, and it's a spiritual battle. The enemy is against us, and we've been given spiritual armor that we need to put on, and sometimes I wonder, do we actually put on the armor day by day, or do we just assume that we have it on? I feel like sometimes I go into battle with my shorts on, so to speak. And I think the enemy looks at me and just laughs because I'm not taking seriously the battle that I'm in. But then Psalm 18 just jumped off the page and showed me the reality of the battle that I was in. And God entered into this psalm in a very unique way with me and really showed me his rescue. I call it the rescuer from heaven. And here I am, a warrior on earth, fighting for all I'm worth, and I cry out to God. I scream the name of Jesus, and instantaneously he's there as a warrior that was on another hill, like in an epic battle taking place, and he comes to my rescue, fights off the enemy that had piled up on me, that had, you know, multiplied forces against me. And then he checks to make sure I'm okay, and then he goes back to the battle, and I go back to the battle. And it's just stunning to realize, my gosh, is this what actually is happening at times when life is so hard, and I do cry out to God, and he literally comes to my rescue, as it says in Psalm 18.
Wow, so powerful. And as you're talking, I've heard that conversation before about, are we always wearing our armor, or do we have to put it on? And you know, I've gone back and forth about that. But all I know for me is, Vic, when I am driving to work and say, you know, thank you for the shoes of peace prepared for the gospel, you know, that I'm in the right mm-hmm. place at the right time with, you know, and mm-hmm. I have a belt of truth sturdily fashioned. One way or another, I'm aware of what I have in Christ. And don't you feel like that enemy camps on the assumption that we will forget who we are and how equipped we are to stand in these battles?
Exactly. I fully believe that. You know, that there's an unseen world that we don't have access to, but occasionally in Scripture, God pulls back the curtains of heaven, so to speak, and lets us look. And he did it one time with Elisha and his servant. And so Elisha prayed that God would open his eyes. And he saw chariots and horses of fire, certainly with warriors of fire in those chariots surrounding Elisha. As this opposing army was coming against him, and you stop to think, my gosh, is that what's really going on? Did those guys just appear at that moment, or were they already there? And I believe they were already there. I believe they're there all the time. We just can't see them. But Christ, it actually says in Ephesians 2:6, we are seated with Christ in those heavenly places, in the unseen realm. So somehow we are there too, and we need to learn to operate with the Scripture and our understanding of the Scripture in the heavenly realms, fighting the war that God and his forces are fighting. But what's my part in it? What does prayer have to do with it?
So good. So here's Vic's personalization of one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 18. I hear you say, I love you. It's music to my ears. I love to hear you say it. I especially love to see you demonstrate your love for me. I'm progressively becoming your strength. You are relying more and more on me, and less on your strength. That's good. Now my power can reside in your weakness. I'm your rock, your safe place, and your refuge. But I'm not only your stationary rock. I reach out and I rescue you. I deliver you and pull you into my safety. I'm the shield that blocks the blows designed to destroy you. I'm the horn that sounds, announcing my location and presence so you can simply run toward the sound. I love that. I am your stronghold. You call upon me because I'm worthy of your praise. When you call upon me, I respond and save you from your enemies. I was not unaware. I was watching as the cords of death entangled you and began to tie you up and choke you. Your terror mounted. Your fear overwhelmed you as the torrents of destruction and ungodliness rained down on you. The cords of the grave were reaching up for you, coiling around you like a living snake. The traps and snares of death were in your face, confronting you, reaching out for you. You couldn't see the light because these aggressive cords of evil had completely wrapped you up in darkness. Then you cried out to me for help. In your distress, you called out in desperation for deliverance, and I heard you. From the depths of your entangled mess, your cries for help reached my ears. Your scream was heard in my throne room. Then all of heaven broke loose. I didn't send my warring angels to your rescue. I came myself. My response to your cry caused earthquakes. The very foundations of mountains trembled at my anger. Smoke poured from my nostrils. Fire shot from my mouth, devouring everything in my path. I threw back the curtain of heaven, and I came down. Makes me want to cry. Dark clouds were under my feet. I mounted the cherubim and rode them. I flew upon the mighty angels. I soared to your rescue on the wings of the wind. I covered myself with thick darkness. The clouds boiled in advance before me as the brilliance of my presence pushed them. Hail and bolts of lightning poured from the clouds. I thundered from the heavens. My voice echoed through the skies. I shot my arrows and scattered your enemies. Great bolts of lightning confused and routed them. When my rebuke was heard, the valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundations of the earth laid bare. Everything was revealed. My fingers wrapped around you securely. I lifted you out of deep waters. I rescued you from your powerful enemy, from those who hated you, from those too mighty for you, from those bent on killing you. Wow. I mean, that's just a majestic battle, isn't it?
It is. And I'm like you, Susie. I mean, I can't read that today without tears coming to my eyes.
It's amazing. Just amazing. Well, talk to me about Psalm 1. I'm kind of jumping around, but it's just kind of the order as I prepped in that just ministered to me so much. What can you tell us about Psalm 1? And if you don't mind, I'd love for you to read your personalization of that one.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think we all love Psalm 1 in the uniqueness of it. I think some have said it's like an introduction to the Psalms rather than just its own standalone psalm. But there's just a fabulous beginning here, and God wants to bless us. But with that blessing, he doesn't want us to walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't want us to stand and kind of place ourselves as belonging in the path of sinners, and certainly not to sit in the seats, the seats of power and control of those that scoff against God. But instead of all that, our delight is in the law of the Lord. This is just a fascinating psalm. It's one that I think just reaches out to us from the heart of God. But this is what it might sound like if God spoke this psalm to us in the first person. The company that you keep is very critical to me and to your overall success. I really want to bless you. I want you to be happy and prosperous. I want others to look at you and be envious of my goodness evidenced in your life. I will bless you if you do not walk so close as to hear and consider the counsel of the wicked. Why should you consider their advice? I will bless you if you do not stop, stand, and lean against the wall where sinners normally travel, down the path they regularly take. I will bless you if you do not pull up a chair and join the environments where the ungodly scoff and laugh at all that is good and righteous. Don't indulge their crude humor. You become like the company you keep. The one who avoids these environments, these influences, these people, is the blessed one who finds great delight in what I have written. This blessed one meditates on and soaks in and marinates in my written word consistently day and night. This blessed one will be like a beautiful, fruitful tree planted by my clear, nourishing stream of water. They will bear fruit at the proper time. Their leaves will not wither. Whatever they put their hand to, I will bless and will cause to prosper. But not so for the wicked, not so for those people I told you to avoid. They will blow away like paper in the wind. They will not be able to stand up against the time of judgment. They certainly will not stand in the gathering of my righteous ones, because I know intimately the way of my righteous ones. But the course of the wicked, the ones you are to avoid, is destruction. That's where their counsel will lead you.
What's your biggest takeaway on this particular psalm, Vic?
Well, I think it's the heart cry of God and just how he wants to bless us and how so often we are going in just the opposite direction of his blessing. And we are becoming too much like the world. We're listening to the world. We're buying into the theories and reasonings and philosophies of the world instead of standing alone and standing separate from
from them as the people of God. And I think that the Word of God is supposed to be our anchor. I think it's supposed to be our answers to all of the issues of life. And again, so often, the people of God don't live in the Bible. They don't live in the Word of God, and they don't let the Word of God live in them. And we're never going to experience the blessings that just reach out to us from the heart of God unless we do that.
So true. And truly, we are in a day where it seems the lines are so blurred between Christians and non-Christians, and how, as you say, the world is too much a part of us. And you read that psalm, and there's no confusion in heaven. There's absolute and utter clarity. Those lines are not blurred in heaven. I often say, heaven knows who's who in the zoo. You know what I mean? It's, he knows who are his, and we're not fooling anybody from heaven's point of view, you know?
That's exactly right.
So, Vic, how do you find your emotional and spiritual footing when it feels like this giant wave has about knocked you off your feet? I mean, do you go instinctively to the Psalms, or do you put worship music on? What do you do to catch your breath and to get your footing again?
Well, I love worship music. And with those, again, people of God that are just gifted in that way, and I find myself entering into that worship with them and really making that my own. So that's a big thing. It's kind of like you're talking about lifestyle. What is the lifestyle of a man or a woman who has a heart for God, who is hard after God? And I think probably initially when hard times come, my experience is the Word of God is already in me. And so I don't necessarily grab the Bible and turn the Bible to a particular place, but there are places that have become very familiar to me, and those are generally the places where God really begins to speak and to clarify my perspective and to give me his perspective. And so then with that, I might turn to the scripture that he indicates and soak in that again and begin to gain some insight and wisdom into my current circumstances.
We need to take a quick short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the tangibles in our devotional time and how to read scripture with a fresh perspective. Maybe if you keep doing what you've always done, they say you're always going to get what you used to get. I just totally ruined that. Let's see. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. Is that right, Matt? I'm getting an eye roll from my producer. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk about ways to engage with God in your prayer time that'll bring fresh life. More with Vic Black in a moment.
We love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Wow, having a really great conversation today with Vic Black, really taking a deeper look at Psalms and as just a way to get to know the Lord even better, to be more acquainted with his word and God's character. And really, the more we get to know him, the more we know what we were made for. And Vic, before we get into just some tangibles in our prayer life, I got a couple other questions for you. One is, you know, some of the Psalms cry out for vengeance on our enemies, kind of, you know, break their bones, God. I mean, what do you say about, you know, seriously, that cry for God to intervene? Because, you know, I have a friend, Sarah Groves, singer-songwriter Sarah Groves. She and I and our hubbies have worked together in issues of justice with International Justice Mission. And both of us were saying before we got involved in that work, when we would read about the wicked, we would think about the catty woman who gossiped at church. But now we've since learned that there are really wicked, wicked people oppressing very vulnerable people on this earth. And so it makes you understand a cry for God to intervene. But what say you about those particular passages?
Well, those are definitely some of our biggest challenges. And rather than picking and choosing the Psalms that we might go to and excluding the ones that we aren't happy with, the early church actually used the book of Psalms as a book of prayers. And you would have little kids running around that had the book of Psalms memorized, not because they set out to memorize it, but because they prayed it all the time. And so for me, probably where I go with those Psalms that are more against our enemies is again into the unseen realm of the the rulers of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places that again, Ephesians 6 talks about and summarizes there. And so I don't necessarily see people as my enemies, even though that may very well be true in some of the circumstances going on around the world today. Like if we're praying for the persecuted church and the suffering church in different parts of the world. And I think I saw some of that on my last trip to Egypt, and just seeing the thriving church of God in that context and the challenges that they face living for God and yet being absolutely committed to sending out missionaries to their surrounding Muslim nations. And those people are facing a battle unlike anything we know. And so I think often our context, our safe, comfortable context, causes us not to really realize the enemies that actually do oppose Christianity.
And as you say, though, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So to be effective in prayer is to remember who our real enemy is. Okay, well, let's talk then about just a morning quiet time. Somebody who maybe has been doing read the Bible through in a year, which is great, but maybe they've done that for so many years, it really has become rote for them. What are some just tangible ways that they can enter into this time with the Lord in a fresh new way?
Well, I think a lot of it is perspective. What is my perspective on the Bible? What is my perspective on prayer? Two amazing gifts that God has given us. How do I handle the Bible? Most of us are very unfamiliar with the Bible. But if before I open the Bible, if I could have the perspective that I am listening, God is speaking, then I think what I get from the scripture is very different than if I just simply open the book and start turning pages and reading. And so I'll never forget, it's actually in my introduction, an interview with a young man, not an interview, but just we were across the table at a breakfast, and he was telling me his story, and he said he came to Christ listening or reading the Bible. He came to Christ having not any exposure to the Bible beforehand. He read half of the Bible, and then he did a little research to satisfy himself that it was reliable, that it was trustworthy, that he could place his faith in it. So he read the second half of the Bible, and then he believed. And so I asked him, well, what's your Bible reading like today? I thought it was a great question. The guy came to Christ reading the Bible, and he said, I don't read the Bible. I listen to it. And he means not the audio Bible.
Yeah.
And so when he opens this book, we call the Bible, he is listening. And I love what A.W. Tozer says, a word of God once spoken continues to be spoken. So do I receive it as the currently spoken word of God? And if so, then I begin my morning quiet time with a conversation. And God started the conversation because I'm listening to what he's saying. And I'm receiving it as the currently spoken word of God. Then my prayer in response can be just like a conversation. God just said this to me. My prayer is a response to what he just said to me, rather than groping for relationship and groping for a conversation with God.
Isn't it just the difference between maybe a spouse who's trying to do better at marriage, but their heart's not in it, so they rotely compliment and they make the bed and then they plan a date, but all of it is going through the motions. Check, check, check. I think so often we approach our spiritual journey that way. Okay, read my Bible. Okay, I prayed through my list. And it's like you could almost not show up and still have done that step.
Exactly.
But when you engage in your heart and you tether your whole heart to God's character, as you say, and you're saying this is the immovable word of God and he is a keeper of his promises, totally different thing. In fact, I got to read this. I posted this on my Facebook today from your book. You said, do not allow your circumstances to determine for you who God is and where God is. Let God be who he says he is and adjust your belief to that anchor. Your little boat may be bobbing on the ocean of life's turmoil, but be careful that you don't cut the rope to your anchor by allowing your circumstances to dictate to you who God is. Boy, that was a word for me today, just with some family hard stuff going on in our family with sickness and different things. And as we speak right now, I've got three very close family members in the hospital with really serious issues. And it's like, we have a big family. We're all gathering together. We're praying and texting constantly. And I texted this to the family text, and everybody went, Whoa. Because we forget when you get tossed in the storm, suddenly your eyes are on the wind and on the waves and the tipping of your boat. And we've got to be tethered and anchored to the faithfulness of God, don't we?
Amen. Amen, Susie.
So good. Well, here's another quote from your book on the power of gratitude. I'd love for you to speak to it. You write, "We have so much to be thankful for. To limit God's goodness to the scope of our natural lives is profoundly restrictive. The cross was enough, yet God did not stop with the cross. His goodness pours over us throughout our relationships, throughout our pursuits, throughout our journeys. May songs accompany our grateful hearts." And we just have about a moment here before I ask you to pray. I'm wondering if you would just say a word about the aspect of gratitude as we approach Scripture and even approach the things that we're facing today.
Yeah. Well, so often we limit gratitude to what God has done for us in our lives and our current circumstances. And all that's great. It's actually true and accurate to be grateful for those things. But so often we don't explore the vast dimensions of who God is as he reveals himself in Scripture. Just take any attribute of God or any name of God and drill down deep into that particular aspect of God and then express gratitude for who he is and how he is revealing himself throughout history, but now at this moment revealing himself to me. And it's just astounding to me how God extends himself to us and reveals himself to us and wants to be known by us. And yet, again, we just read the words on the page rather than really searching out and seeking out deeper and deeper awareness and experience. I think experience is the key word of the way God reveals himself. And as we see him in those particular moments in history, as we read Scripture, I just simply tell God, well, I want some of that.
Yeah, I'll have what he's having.
Exactly. I want some of that relationship right there. And I'm a son of God too. And I believe you want me to have it because I see you revealing yourself beautifully in that passage, but I'm afraid I don't know you that intimately in that way, and I just simply ask you to bring me into that place of relationship with you.
Oh, so good. Well, Vic, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. You are a brother in the Lord, for sure. Just so great to talk about God's Word and your heart for him. As we wrap up, wondering if you pray for that person who's maybe fallen into a place of just almost boredom because they've done what they've always done. Would you pray for a fresh wind to fill their sails?
Yes. Oh, Jesus, what a privilege it is to speak with you, to have you speak with us from your Scripture. And would you, in the lives of this person, this man and woman around the nation, Lord, draw them into greater intimacy with you. Speak to them from your word. Make your word come alive. And we believe it is what you say it is. It is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword and able to pierce as deep as a division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow and get down deep inside our hearts. So, Lord, would you do that with this person who longs to know you more? And would you peel back the layers of who you are, reveal yourself to them. May they know you the way you want to be known, not just simply the way they want to know you, the way they've come to know you. I pray that you would bust the size out of their box and show them new ways of knowing you in your Scripture. I pray that you would speak to them clearly.
In Jesus' name. So sorry, we got to cut it off. That was Vic Black. I'm Susie. You've been listening to Live the Promise. Hour 2 is up next.